Welcome to Talks Around a Farm Table, a podcast about the diverse landscape of agriculture on Kodiak Island. This series is driven by Kodiak Soilwater Conservation District in collaboration with KMXT Radio. I am your host, Ian Zacher. Hello, fellow gardeners, farmers, ranchers, and food system specialists. Today we are continuing our food systems conversation by talking with the chair of the Kodiak Food Harvest Co-op. Cooperatives play an integral part in our nation's food systems. Each cooperative looks slightly different, and they're run slightly different. Today we will talk about what is a cooperative, why it's important to have a co-op on our island, and what are the plans for the co-op in the future. In full disclosure, I also want to say that I am the vice chair to the Kodiak Food Harvest Co-op Board. And with that, I will let Myra introduce herself.
Hello, my name is Myra Scholes, and I am the chair of the board for Kodiak Harvest Food Cooperative.
Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
So, you've been with the co-op board for quite some time.
Yeah, I've been on the board since late 2022 when I moved back to Kodiak, but I kind of kept track of what the co-op was doing when I lived away from Kodiak because I thought it was a really awesome organization that was starting up here.
So I'm sure most people know that we have the Kodiak Food Harvest, but people might have a novel understanding of what a cooperative is. Can you give us maybe a foundational definition of what the co-op, of what a cooperative is?
Sure. I'm going to read a definition so I get this one right and don't miss anything. A co-op is a democratically controlled business that is jointly owned by a group of people who come together to meet their economic, social, and cultural needs. And co-ops are organized to benefit their members rather than earn profits for investors. And that's one of the big distinctions. So this is a fully community-owned grocery store, and it's Kodiak's only community-owned grocery store, which is pretty cool.
How many cooperatives are in the state?
There are three food co-ops currently, including us, Fairbanks, and Sitka. Both have one. Ketchikan is trying to get one up and running, and there is a store in Anchorage that is trying to convert to a cooperative model now.
So needless to say that what we're doing here on Kodiak is fairly unique for the state.
Yeah, it's very unique, and it's a very unique model that we follow. There's like a general cooperative model that startups will go step by step through. And we have been known as the Wild West Co-op kind of since the beginning because we have altered our trajectory to fit our needs as a small rural community. And people in Alaska especially are really excited about that. Last year, the Alaska Food Policy Council hosted their meeting in Kodiak, and we had like standing room only talks and presentations about Kodiak Harvest because other rural communities are really interested in cooperatives, but the model that like more urban areas with a lot higher population to pull from is very different than what we've used here.
Yeah, it seems like it would be very hard and difficult to have something that, you know, is supposed to bring a bunch of people together on an island that doesn't have that many people to pull from.
Yeah.
So what is making it work here?
I think being very intentional and gaining community support early on and then growing as we go, a lot of the cooperative models encourage the startups to kind of expand quickly and then to bring people into that larger space. And we've been very intentional about expanding step by step and not taking on either like more responsibility, more debt, anything that gets us in over our heads and then we have to backpedal from. So we've gone through really small incremental growth over the last, let's see, I think the first board was seated in 2017. We didn't have a brick and mortar until 2021. And now with this newest opportunity, we're moving into a larger space in 2026. So we've had slow growth, but it's been really consistent, and we have an awesome, really engaged membership and a really engaged community. So I think gaining that engagement early and then allowing that to kind of power us, as opposed to the other direction where we like build out a large area and then expect that membership to come to us.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned that the first board meeting was in 2017, and you didn't have the location or the brick and mortar, as you call it, until 2021. So how did the co-op manage those 3 or 4 years with being able to propel itself into what we are today, right? Because we didn't, like you said, we didn't always have a brick and mortar. There was these 4 years that we didn't.
Yeah, that was a lot of pop-ups. So I know a lot of people will remember that there were Alaskan produce stand pop-ups around town. They used to be outside the Islander Bookshop when the Islander was over on Mill Bay. They also used to be outside of AC a lot when the AC building was where the current marketplace is. And we're really excited that our move into the Kodiak Marketplace kind of brings us back to where a lot of this started.
And I think this plays into the uniqueness of how this co-op has been run and operated, right? From my experience, co-ops have never really had the same fruition, so to speak, stages that we've had. Like, usually you get a board, you get a co-op, you do a money funding, and then you get your big building, and then you deck it out, right? But mm-hmm. that's not, we've, from at least from my perspective, we have kept the co-op as locally focused as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think that shows out in our development from going from the farmer's market, right? Mm-hmm. Selling at the farmer's market, selling at these. I've got pictures from like 2017, 2018 of the people from the co-op, like Rob I don't think I had a picture of Tyler, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. Selling produce at the farmer's market in front of the old AC building there.
Yeah,
and that
definitely.
That was before I moved to the island. So,
yeah, it's been a process, but I think that it has been very successful, and I'm very excited that it has been. Kodiak Harvest has built this process because I think it is going to help other rural communities develop their own food co-ops in Alaska and perhaps elsewhere, but especially focusing on Alaska, which is really awesome.
Yeah, and so I guess my next question to you would be, why a cooperative, and why in Kodiak, and why is it important for people to invest in a co-op?
I think there's a lot of answers to that. So I think just from my perspective, Kodiak Harvest is hyper local, and especially in a remote place that relies so heavily on imports, using what we have on island, and especially in the aspect of food security, is so important. Everyone notices when a barge doesn't come in and the shelves at all of the grocery stores in town empty out very quickly. And I think just looking at it from purely a food security standpoint, producing as much as we can on island and then being able to market it and sell it on island not only creates economic opportunities for more people in our community, but it also provides greater food security for the families that live here. And I think that is hugely important.
I think that's a great point. It's insulatory, mm-hmm. right? It insulates us from, you know, those up and down markets that...
Yeah.
Would otherwise, you know, when you go to Safeway, like, you know, those prices ebb and flow all the time.
And it feels very proactive, which I like, as opposed to just reactive. Like, once the barge doesn't come, we can't do anything about the fact that the shelves are empty. But if we're building the store of locally produced food and we can provide for the people in our community in those instances, then we're acting much more proactively than just deciding that we're not going to eat salad on a Wednesday.
And I think, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about the co-op is that they stand by the morals in which they've set out for themselves. Before I was on the board, I was a producer, and I still am a producer for the co-op. And I just remember calling up the co-op and saying, you know, I've got all this excess produce. It's locally grown, mm-hmm. you know. Would you guys like it? And there wasn't a hesitation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, I think that plays a bit, at least for me, to support to an institution that is so willing to take in that local produce, because I couldn't call Walmart and I couldn't call Safeway, right?
Yeah.
And I think the co-op gives people more choice in that kind of that
right.
realm.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So historically, the co-op has been small, and we've built a lot of this infrastructure throughout the years. But not all cooperatives look the same, and not all cooperatives act the same. So how does Kodiak Harvest actually, how does it look different than like the one in Fairbanks or the one in Juneau, right? Like how, is there a difference in what we do?
I think a lot of that is our capacity at this point. Fairbanks has a much larger co-op and supported by a slightly larger population, but also they're just further along in their development. So they have things like a deli, which we well have coming in the marketplace and we're so excited about. Whereas like the one in Sitka is a little bit more of, well, I would say it's less far along in its development. It looks more like we looked 5 years ago. And we'll see where that goes. So we're kind of, the three co-ops that exist in state are all in at different levels right now. I think it'll be interesting to see how things look in 5 or 10 years when maybe everyone's at a more stable point. I don't know. Does that make sense? Sitka at this point, as far as I know, looks like our early brick and mortar where they don't necessarily have a full service grocery store. You can go in and shop for all of your needs for a meal, which is where we started initially with being hyper-local and then building up our inventory until we could support a full service store.
And so we've talked about a couple of times, you've hinted at that, we're moving the store from our current location to the marketplace. Could we talk a little bit about that? Because that's kind of big news. That's kind of big news. That's been we've been working on that for at least for the last few months, couple months, but it's really been a longer dream, right? Because the original plans was what? It was a 5-year plan, right? Of building our own brick and mortar spot that would encompass what we,
Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from when our board got seated to when we actually found a suitable location and we're both just like had systems in place to be able to actually operate a brick and mortar storefront, as well as like had enough financial backing to be able to afford to open a store, maintain inventory, and hire and employ staff to run that store. That was 4 years in the making before that happened. And now we have been in that location for 4.5 years.
4.5 years, yeah. I remember the day you guys moved in. So we're moving into the Kodiak marketplace. Can you tell us how that's going to greatly increase the capacity of the co-ops to do more local produce, to support a local market, and how you think, if you think at all, that this is going to be like a new dawn of local stores, local markets?
Yeah, I hope so. So for one, the space in the Kodiak marketplace is over twice as big as the retail area in our current location. So we'll just have a lot more room for things and for variety. We also will have better storage. That's one of the things we run into with both local produce and with local seafood, is we just don't have the capacity to store bigger quantities of it. And we will have that capacity in our new location. We also will just have a lot higher visibility and a lot more people coming into the store, I think. And we hope to engage more of the community. And we won't be fighting a battle just to get people to find us for the first time, which I think will be really awesome. And we can put kind of redirect the energy that we put into making sure that people know where we are into making sure that we have like the best and the greatest stock store that we can. And yeah, we will have a both more space for produce, and I think the storage is a huge thing for us. And so having like the capacity to have like walk-in freezer, walk-in fridge space, and maintain more inventory, that also makes it easier for our local producers, especially looking at our local fishers who don't often have themselves a ton of freezer space to store their direct marketed seafood. And so if we can step in and assist in that way, then that's a great thing that we can do for our local producers.
Yeah, talking as a local producer, it's been fun trying to do the Tetris inside the coolers when I come and drop produce off.
Yes.
It gets interesting because we only have really four coolers that really supports the entire...
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not even the front coolers that we've got to put mm-hmm. produce. Like, it's basically just for storage. Like, we have almost nothing.
It's a lot of Tetris.
A lot of Tetris. And I kind of want to like tie this back into why cooperatives in general are becoming more popular. So do you think that like cooperatives are integral to this food system that we have, or do you think that it has a chance to maybe be an answer to larger chain grocery stores? Because I mean, you did make the point that like we are a store that is kind of insular, but we're still reliant on the same kind of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Except that, you know, during those seasons where we can have local produce, we can kind of be those that alternative answer
mm-hmm.
to where when you go to Safeway, the shelves are empty, right?
Right.
Because they're not taking on local produce.
Yeah, I think that our capacity to sell locally produced produce, even if someone is just bringing us a few bags of greens per week, is what is really unique about us. So, I mean, our population on the road system is 10 to 12,000.
Yeah.
And there's no way that our current store can support 10 to 12,000. And I don't think we need to do that. We are part of a food system. We don't need to be the entire food system. I do think that what we can do to make Kodiak more food secure is ensure that we're giving opportunity to small farmers or just growers. Someone doesn't have to define themselves as a farmer to bring in greens or bring in, I don't know, if it's a banger zucchini year, everyone's got zucchinis coming out their ears. And really looking at like what we can do to engage a lot of people to grow a little bit and contribute it to our food system, as opposed to expecting one or two large, whether it's a corporation or whether it is a farm in town. I don't think we can rely on several large entities to feed Kodiak as well as we can build a reliance system that is a lot of people doing a little bit.
And I think that segues into like something that you wanted to bring up is we've got the cooperative here, and its entire goal is to help local producers regardless of size, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you like to see more of by people in Kodiak to support the co-op?
I would love to see people growing for the co-op, even if it's half of a garden bed or a quarter of a garden bed, just setting aside one area and planting a few kale plants, some bok choy, some lettuce, and bringing that in weekly or biweekly or however often they can. Obviously, people shop at the co-op, our members and our community are so supportive by buying from the co-op and buying through us, but that's only half the system, and we can't sell local produce that we don't have. So encouraging people to grow, even if it's, like I said, 4 square feet, set aside 2 by 2 foot space in your garden and say that that is going to be grown for Kodiak Harvest. Come by and talk to us. It's an easy process to get set up. Ian can talk more about that because I haven't actually sold at the co-op either. But that's my goal this summer, to have the space to do that and the garden area. And really focusing on, especially like you were mentioning, in the seasons that we can, you know, we do have some alternatives. We have Brightbox. We have some hydroponics that grow year-round. And we have that constantly available in the co-op. And people love it. It's so cool to see a hyper local food on the shelves. It also just lasts so much longer than produce that is picked who knows how long before, and then shipped up on a barge.
Yeah, and I think that that point is particularly important. What I've got from my sense as a producer and as a grower here in Kodiak is that there is this movement that people want to know about where their food's grown and how how it's grown, where being this hyper local, I'm going to call it an institution because at this point, like the cooperative is so ingrained into the community that we kind of represent as the co-op this attainability of that information. Like like someone can come and talk to the farmer who, to me personally, and be like, you know, they can come to my farm, they can come look at how the things are grown. And I think that that is the power that the co-op has that, you know, other larger chain grocery stores can't offer. And I think that's an important point that, you know, the size of the grower doesn't matter, right? We want to get that middle school kale. We want to get,
definitely.
If you've just, you know, you've got a 10 by 10 growing area, like just put, like you said, 2 feet by 2 feet or 4 feet by 4 feet. And you'd be surprised about how much you can get out of that.
Yeah.
You know, 2-3 kale plants feeds a family for the entire summer and into the winter. And I think that the more people that grow, the more available local produce is. And essentially the cost comes down. I've always said that if you can get more, if you can get 100 people growing a couple of tings, which is better than, you know, 5 people growing 100 tings, it's a little bit more resilient. And as a local producer, you know, the way in which one does come to the co-op, I think is pretty organic. Like you just come and talk to us, you fill out a form, you know, we tell you what the rules are, and we set up the price, and then, you know, we move on from there. It's, you know, I think the consistency is something that we can work around. Like if you can't offer kale like every other week, you know, we can make sure that we have some sort of scale. But it's been fairly easy in my, I mean, it's not like bulletproof, but it's fairly easy. So if anyone is out there interested, let us know. Plant that extra kale. Get that extra potatoes in the ground.
Yes.
You know? And I think one of the things that the co-op wants to do, and maybe you can talk more about this, is this space is also going to give us the ability to bring in more expertise, to have more teach-ins, to talk about more about that local, hyper-local production.
Yeah, we're going to have the space to be the community space that we want to be, and that before our store expanded to the very edges of our current location, we were able to have talks about either gardening or fermentation or local foods. We also had a really popular Saturday market in the off season of the farmers market to provide a place for especially homemade food makers to sell their product in the winter that was heated and out of the rain, which is a great boon if you're in that position. But we're so excited to be able to do that again and invite people into our space. And along the lines of, you know, planting 4 more kale plants for the co-op, we also are always looking for like homemade food producers. We have a whole agreement for that. We can get you all squared away if you're interested in producing something that falls under non-hazardous and can be produced in a home kitchen. We know all those regulations. We know them well. We can direct you where you need to go. But having even those prepared foods that are local is really exciting also. So, you know, we have our super popular local hummus. We have local biscotti. We have local baked goods, and trying to expand there. Like, can we find a local hummus maker? Different dips. We have some awesome seafood dips from the smokehouse, and really leaning into using what Kodiak has and the local food that Kodiak has to turn into those value-added products that can be sold to the community and enjoyed by everyone. So if you have an idea, if there's anything related to food that you want to explore with us, swing by. Rob, Stauffer, our project director, is always around and he's always willing to help.
So that's kind of like the future to co-op. What do you see the co-op in a couple more years? What are you hoping to after this move? Because it's going to be a very we've got to move. First of all, when are we supposed to be opening doors in there?
We're anticipating the first week of March will be open sometime there. But everything is, of course, super flexible and variable. So working on moving in February, and then hopefully in February we will have a solid date in early March. And then likely the deli space will come online in April. That'll be a little bit behind the doors opening down there.
Cool. And then we've got our annual board meeting.
Yeah, and we will likely be able to host our annual board meeting for our members within that space. We're looking at doing a preview of the space before the doors open, which would be very fun.
Are there any board seats open?
There are board seats open. We have currently two open board seats, and then annually we have three seats come open for current board members who can choose to rerun, as well as any member. You do have to be a member of the co-op to run for the board. If you're interested, you can find an application on our website or reach out to the board, kodiakharvest@gmail.com, and I will send an application your way.
Excellent.
Yes, it's really fun. It's a fulfilling board.
I do have to say that this board is very active.
Yes.
And I don't think, you know, without a dedicated board and a dedicated staff, you know, the co-op would not be what it is.
No, definitely not. Yeah, it's been a fun process to be a part of, and we have an awesome and dedicated staff, and I'm so excited that they are moving into our new location with us.
Yeah, I'm really pumped about it as well.
Yeah.
So, well, we're kind of coming out to the half hour mark. Is there any last minute remarks you'd like to leave off with people?
No, I think just a reminder that we want local food, and like I said before, we can only sell as much local food as we have, and that's our biggest barrier right now. Is there's not enough produced in Kodiak to have a like stable set area that is just local food, and we would love to see that shift. I see the co-op as an integral part of the food system there, and just providing the security of a market for local producers, and that's really what I want to see develop in the next few years.
I think that the co-op represents something for local producers to be able to kind of come together. I'm always in the realm of just like the more people you bring together to the table, mm-hmm. the better outcome people have. And so the more producers that we get together, the better outcomes the island community has in whole. And I don't think you get that anywhere else other than the co-op here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think that the co-op is rooted in and built on community, and that is what makes it so unique and so special.
I want to thank Myra for coming in on today's show and talk about the Kodiak Harvest. Cooperatives are a possible answer in democratizing our food systems. They offer a model that encapsulates local cooperation of its board, staff, and members. This cooperation spurs local food production while also keeping money local. Remember, when you buy produce from the co-op, you are supporting a local farm and a local wage and local wage earners. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And until next time, keep growing. Slong a full. Listen to all the episodes of Talks Around a Farm Table on KMXT.org and Spotify. This show is in collaboration between Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District and KMXT Radio. You can find me, Ian Zacher, on Facebook at Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District or on the web at www.kodiaksoilandwater.org. Music featured in this episode is Boil the Breakfast by The Chieftains, which is my son's favorite song.